is titled Ethnic Nonsense.
How many believe the Bible? I happen to believe it. I believe everything in the Bible. Years ago, I wasn't quite sure, naturally. Come on, tell the truth. You know, you wonder, and I wouldn't find fault with anybody for wondering. You see? And every once in a while, I read something even now in the passage that's new, I never noticed before, and you want to give it a try. But it's been my experience over my lifetime, or at least the last, we'll say, several years of my lifetime. I don't want to tell you how many. But over the last several years, I have discovered that everything in here is true, absolutely right, you can depend on it. But there are some problems. There are some translation problems. How many understood me there? You see? And for this reason, there are people who make fun of us and make fun of Christians and make fun of those of us who believe in the Bible because of the translation difficulties. There are times when it does look like there's conflict. Come on. If you've studied very long or been to Sunday school very long, you've noticed some times when we wondered about the conflict. Then there was one other thing that I noticed, and that just settled everything. When I saw the difference between the spirit and the soul and the body, then I could see that some of the scriptures refer to the spirit, some refer to the soul, some refer to the body, and then there was no conflict at all throughout the whole Bible. It all made sense. Take the one. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You remember that, Ephesians? Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ephesians, you can't work it out. Philippians, work it out. Conflict. How many would agree that certainly appears to be a conflict? But when you begin to see that the salvation that's brought to us by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ is because the blood of Jesus Christ has removed all past sin. Did you hear that? All past sin is gone. And we're perfect in our spirit. But we're not perfect in our souls. So in the realm of the soul salvation, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your mind, soul, written to people who were already saved in their heart spirit. Now, to my way of thinking, that makes a lot of sense now. But it didn't make a lot of sense about 10 years ago. Come on. Did it make any sense to you? Not 10 years ago, but it sure does now. Because we're beginning to see some things that the Holy Spirit has not shined His light of revelation upon until just recently. And so I'm thrilled about it. I'm thrilled about the things that we're seeing. Now turn with me to your lesson leaflet. And this lesson is, I'm so eager to get into it, and yet at the same time I'm kind of scared of it. So that's why I wanted you to pray for me in a real important way, because the things that we teach tonight have to be understood. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit, that every spirit hears the truth of what I'm trying to say, not necessarily what my dumb head and tongue gets out. In Jesus' name, every person will hear what we're trying to get out, not necessarily the way it comes out. Now, in preparation for that, we'd like to say that first we were talking about who's best. We've got Jews, Gentiles, Negroes, and Orientals. Now, I don't see any Orientals here tonight, but we got everything else. Are there any other Orientals? I don't know. Let's see. Even Iranian or Persian is sometimes referred to as the East. Any Orient? Well, let's see. How many Gentiles we got? Got some Jews. And there's one man who is, different color. We used to call him colored, but now we call him black. I don't know. Well, whatever, you see. But here's, and now, I'd like to know a question. Would you agree? Well, maybe you better tell me. Who's best? My type. Well, we're going to get into some real tough things here tonight. Now, in the realm of who's best, would you also agree with me that there are certain national or nationalistic qualities that make some people more given to certain types of acts or actions? Nationalistic qualities, racial qualities or features that make some people better at certain things or perhaps even worse at certain things than others. Is that right or wrong? Nobody upset yet. All right. Now I want you to read, someone turn in your Bible right now, read Revelation 5. And do me a favor and start in verse 1, because this whole thing is so beautiful. This is one of the most beautiful passages in the whole Bible. Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Now I'm going to stop you at verse 9, but I want you to read kind of clearly, slowly, distinctly, and real loud, so we can pick you up on the microphone. Who's got it? I prefer it in the King James. You got a King James? All right, you're Chuck. Go ahead. Get it real loud, don't you?
And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung with a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation."
Now read me that verse again, that 9 again. "Thou art worthy."
"Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation."
Thou art worthy. The Lamb, the Lion, you got the picture. Who? What's his name?
Jesus
Christ is worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Now, keep your finger there and go to the chapter right in front of that, the last verse.
"Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
That's an interesting scripture. Not everybody believes that, that God created all things. Believe it or not, I create good and I create... A little tough, but that's what it says. I create good and I create evil. Did you know he created the devil? Are you aware of that? Now, not all of us want to admit that, but the fact is that God had to have a devil. And here's why. There are some things that have to be destroyed in your life and my life in order for us to become perfect. Now, some of you don't like that idea, but listen. There are some things about each one of us that still have to be taken away from us. So God is a lover and a creator and not a destroyer and cannot destroy, and you cannot find anything ever that God has ever destroyed. The very word heaven is the word orenos, or expansion. Not contraction, but expansion. Building. Life-giving, not life-taking. But would you agree with me that there are certain things in our lives that should have their lives taken from us? Activities and sickness and who knows what, you see, and thoughts and, well, the Bible's cram-packed full, and I'm not here to put you under condemnation for those things, but I want you to realize that God created the destroyer to destroy the things in your life that are keeping you from perfection. Now, that's a little hard on you, but try that out for size sometime and see how it fits. God, the devil is no friend. And it's very hurtful while these things go. While these things are taken from us, would you admit? But would you also say it's helpful? In other words, the devil is quite a surgeon. Can I say he's a cut-up? Well, whatever. I would never call the devil a barber. Even though he runs a clip joint. Well, anyway. There is a purpose, and for thy pleasure they are created, for thou hast created all things. And I saw a throne. And it was a fiery throne. And round about the throne was in sight like unto an emerald. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders. And he that sat thereon was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And he had in his hand a little book written, sealed, written on the inside and the backside, and sealed with seven seals. Round about the throne were four created beings. And one had the head of a lion and a man and a calf and a flying eagle. And they had wings and they cried, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they cried, Holy, holy, holy. And that's all they cried. Why, that'd be an easy song to learn. Especially after you had about 20,000 years to learn it. And they're crying, Holy, holy, holy. And around them are 24 thrones and 24 elders. And they've got crowns. They've got harps. They've got vials. You remember all this? The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was drawing these pictures. And I drew whatever it said here, this section. And I drew the picture, the fiery throne. And I drew a man, you know, an anthropoid, sitting on the throne. And the other thrones, the 24 around him. And I had some gold paint, so I painted their little crowns gold and their harps, and I painted the vials gold. And then I was to paint their faces. You know, I gave them white, after all, it was heavenly, so I made them white robes. And then I painted their faces. And what color did I take out of my little palette to paint their faces? Well, I'm a Gentile, and I just took out a little pink, you know, and mixed it with a white, and painted all their faces. Just what seemed to me to be the right thing to do. Now, are you offended at me for doing that? Does that make anybody mad? But then I began to see what they said. And thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. See, I didn't notice it before. How many of you have done things based on the scripture and then went back and found out there was more in it that you didn't see before? Mm-hmm. And thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now the 24 elders are those who are going to sit on the throne, and it says they're going to rule and reign. And does it say going to rule and reign in heaven? Say it. And we shall reign on the earth. So the 24 elders are going to have positions of authority in government. And they're going to reign on the earth, but they are selected from every tongue, help me out, kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And when I saw that, I realized that my coloring of the faces that I had drawn or painted was not exactly technically correct. And so I went back and redid it. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious. You remember the song, huh? Why? Because my background, being a Caucasian myself, I just assumed you would draw it the way I was made. But you see, that's not what it says. And if we're going to get technical, we're going to have some black leaders. American Indians, I teach also out in New Mexico, they don't like to be referred to as American Indians. They like to be referred to as Native Americans. You can think on that for a while. I really made some friends when I said that out there in New Mexico. And you, when you go out to Nevada, always say Nevada, never say Nevada, if you want to have a crowd. But there's things you learn as you travel, you know. And then I began to see some things. The Bible doesn't say that us Caucasians have the destiny of ruling all over everybody else. Come on. It's just not that way. Now, here's the reason that this is so important to me. There are many, many people sending literature all around the United States right now saying that certain races are superior to other races in the kingdom of God. And some of those people that are sending this literature are my friends. People that I'm not sure that I've had in this basement, but at least I've spoken with them from the same platform, and I don't want to have any big argument with those guys, but I want to let the, you know, I want to teach a lesson here tonight to show you why I believe that every person here has a potential for a great destiny no matter how you were born. No matter where you came from. You understanding this? We'll even get into some stories tonight about some people who were born of unwed parents. And they had some marvelous destinies in God too. Are you understanding me on this? In other words, the way we came, where we came from, that kind of stuff, is not important to God. It's what you've made up your mind to do for the future that He's going to look at and bless. Now, would you also agree with me that there are some scriptures in the Old Testament that counter what I have said? The sins of the fathers will be visited on the children until the 10th generation. A Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, and neither shall the children enter into the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation. Neither an Amorite. Come on, you Bible students, tell the others I'm telling the truth, you see. And so then, there seems to be conflict with what I've said versus what the Bible says. Come on. Now, these fellows who are writing that there are certain groups of people who are superior to other groups have taken scriptures, and I admit, and used those scriptures, I admit. But here's the problem, my friend. Many of the scriptures that were given to Moses do not apply to the time of David. Many of the scriptures that were applying at the time of David did not apply at the time of Jesus. All right, let me try a few. Moses said, if anybody even looks upon the ark, he's to be stoned and killed. Tell him. David said, everybody in Jerusalem, including women and children, plus the strangers in your gate, come in and look at the ark. And if you don't, I'll kill you. So, all the tickets were sold. And then the son of David said, how then can David say, the Lord said unto my Lord? For it is very obvious that no father calls his child a Lord. Referring to Psalm 110. Because the things that were true for David were no longer true when Jesus was there. And Jesus was the Lord of David, though David was born before Jesus. Come on. For Jesus pre-existed David, but not in body. He pre-existed David in spirit. So we cannot understand these seemingly complex scriptures and things like that until we begin to divide them into spirit, soul, and body, and begin to apply the scriptures to the time or the group that they were given to. All right. There are those who believe, well, the Jews are superior. Well, now that didn't go over, so let me try it again. How many know there are some people sending magazines and books around right now teaching that a Jewish Christian is superior to a Gentile Christian, has a greater destiny, something special about, you know what I mean? Now look, that just isn't so in this day and age. Now it is true that Jews who did what God told them to back then had a superior blessing. But here's the catcher. We'll be talking about when the Jews and the Israelites were obedient and when they were disobedient, and we're going to find out that all the blessings and all the promises to Israel and to the Jews were to them when they were obedient. But when they were disobedient, those promises and those blessings did not apply. Are we seeing that kind of thing? All right. Now, let's talk about the difference between a Jew and Israel for just a minute. Unfortunately, many of the margin notes in our Bibles do not agree with what I'm going to say, and especially if you're carrying one of those famous Scofield Reference Bibles, especially on chapter 7, starting with verse 1 through 4, where he seals the 12,000 of Reuben, help me out, you know, all that, Gad and all that. And Scofield says, now these are the Jews, you remember that note there, you see? Not recognizing, and now I'm not finding fault with Scofield, he did a marvelous job and he was copious in his notes, but he didn't notice the difference between these two words, Jew and Israel, right? He didn't see. For the word Israel relates to 12 or 13 tribes. There's a little bit of thing there about 12 or 13, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you count Levi as the 13th tribe. So, take your pick, 12 or 13. But the Jews, that's a word that describes the southern two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And the northern 10 tribes on the occasion when Jeroboam split the kingdom, broke the back of the kingdom, Jeroboam became the king of the northern 10 tribes, and Rehoboam was the king of the southern two tribes, the tribes of Judah and the tribes of Israel. And all through Kings and Chronicles, and you remember all that kind of stuff, how they're talking about this king did that and that king did that, and it gets so complex and mixed up that nobody here has ever read it and figured it out. Come on, tell the truth. Now, the only way you can figure it out is with help and charts, and somebody else is going through it, you see. Because they talk about the king of Judah and the king of Israel. One time the king of Judah and king of Israel got together and they beat up on the king of Egypt. Another time the king of Egypt, he came up and he helped the king of Judah beat up on the king of Israel. And on it went. And it seemed like such a thing that we couldn't figure it out. And and they're overlapping, and this one's got so many years and that one's got so many years, but they overlap. And then, well, there it is. The word Israel, also, there's another word synonymous for Israel, is Jacob. And we often find promises or threats given to Jacob, meaning Israel, or the northern 10 tribes. And another word is Ephraim. Ephraim is also synonymous at times in the Bible with Israel or Jacob. because the king of the northern ten tribes came from Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim. And so we find those three words synonymous with Israel and the word Jew, whereas, can I say it this way, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. All right. But this is very important. Not everybody recognizes what we've just said. And much literature is written without that recognition. Therefore, you will find some who will contradict what we're teaching tonight. But it'll be because they have not seen this difference between the two. I'll use several other words, Aryan, Nordic, and Anglo-Saxon tonight. Because I've looked you over, and the majority of you are Anglo-Saxons. I see a few Nords. And most everybody here is Aryan. Now, how many know that there are people on the face of this earth who have said the Aryan people are the superior people above all others, and they are the ones to whom God entrusted governments? These are called Nazis. This was a basic principle of Mein Kampf. Deutschland über alles. Aryans are superior to all people, according to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party, the National Socialist Party, and as far as they are concerned, by their birthright, they have a right to take over and tell other people what to do just purely because of the birthright. Well, here in the United States, we decided that in spite of the fact we had a lot of Germans around, that they weren't any better than the rest of us. So we had a fight with the old paper hanger. And the Aryans, or at least the group that was the SS, you understand that the SS men, the SS troops were all blue-eyed. You knew, how many knew that? Well, anyway, that's, you know, they're one of those things. So I studied this word kind of carefully, and there'll be some here who'll disagree because you read another book, but I've been reading Encyclopedia Britannica and some other dictionaries, and this is what they tell me, that the Aryan is one of the most ancient divisions of the peoples, and it starts in Iran, and it's all the people of Iran that left Iran and then split into two groups, one going into northern India and the other group into Europe. Now, let's see. Most of you look European. Most of you probably are descended from those people. How many know that the cradle of civilization in Ur of the Chaldees, Iraq and Iran? Am I hooking a few things together for you right now, you see? All right. Now, are these Aryans a subdivision of the Aryans, the Aryan race, a subdivision, not all Aryans are Nordics, but all Nordics are Aryans.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.